Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
All right, we are live, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, and this is my co-host, Clint Aiken.
Yeah.
This is
the... What? Oh, the show, your show for the coast with the most growth.
With the most growth.
And That's right.
We are here with the legendary Jim Griffin.
Golfer. Legendary golfer.
Well, we could probably spend a few hours talking about his legendary traits, but we're excited to have him on, and he's going to share a little bit about workforce development, the needs, the things that are taking place in the region, and really the landscape of local industry. But he's an industry giant, probably an appropriate word, because he's been around for a long time and done a lot of great things. But Jim, why don't you do us a favor and share with the audience a little bit about your experience and your background before we dive into the show?
Well, I don't know how I live up to that intro, but that's very generous. Well, thank you. So like a lot of us in the industry, I started off as a young engineer. I had some real interesting assignments throughout the U.S. I started with BF Goodrich Chemical and had some global opportunities, kind of made my way through R&D and into the corporate office, and then moved over to Mitsubishi Chemical. I had some global assignments with them as well as local, and about a year ago, I took a position with San Jacinto College as the Vice President of Petrochemical Energy and Technology.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a great resume, and I think probably the most exciting component is what's actually happening at San Jac in regards to the technology and the advancements and the things that school is putting together to really support the region. So we'll talk a lot about that later, but real quick, Clint, do you want to highlight our sponsors real fast?
We always want to start off by thanking our sponsors, the Industrial Safety Training Council. We want to thank McDonough Engineering Corporation, and we definitely want to thank Turner Industries. So we appreciate their support.
Yeah. So let's dive in and start talking about workforce. And so, Jim, you said you want to talk a little bit about some of the needs that are happening.
Sure.
In the area. So why don't you share a little bit about what we need in the region right now?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, there's just a lot of growth in the region. About $60 billion in capital investment with a lot of large companies. We're blessed to have 132 petrochemical plants in our backyard, represents 90 different companies, all of those global. So there's a lot of growth. So along with that growth comes expanded workforce. But in addition to that, the boomers are retiring, and they exit with a lot of experience. So it's really backfilling those jobs, but also these plants have new technologies. So expanding the workforce, not just in numbers, but implementing new technology.
Okay, great. So when you talk about implementing new technology and some of the things, not just the numbers, but the implementation of the new technology,
sure.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the curriculum and the things that are being put out to help support that. Because
right.
I think there's a really... just as much as important, the technology is important as how it's rolled out and placed into this people's hands.
Sure, thank you. So these are very sophisticated plants, right? I mean, these plants have a lot of engineering that's mechanical, electrical, chemical, all the industrial engineering that goes with it. So there's a lot of math and physics. So what do our programs look like? Well, we have 5 degrees at San Jacinto College that flange up with the industry: a process, instrument, electrical, quality, which we call non-destructive testing, and safety. So the technology around that includes everything from the instrumentation in a plant, what a control system looks like, through the electrical systems in the plant, all the process side, big data, to just the mechanics of a plant, how a pump operates, a distillation tower, all of those key assets that need to be operational in a plant, and then the teamwork that goes along with that. So the team of employees that work together to build success in the plant.
Well, one thing that's really different about y'all's program is y'all have hands-on experience. It's not just learning through computer modules. It's not just learning through the book. Y'all actually have hands-on experience.
Yeah, Clint, that's a good example. It's critical. When you think back to your formal education, you maybe remember a few lectures, but you probably remember more of the hands-on application. So as an example, what we're building, the Center for Petrochemical Energy and Technology, While it has 20 classrooms, it has 40 laboratories.
Awesome.
40 custom laboratories. The laboratories each have industry partners, so the content in those laboratories connects up directly with how those plants operate.
And we'll get to that in a minute because I have some questions specific to the opening of this center.
Sure.
But we'll jump into that because I've got some. I'm curious as to where it compares to other industry standards. I'd love to hear about that. But talk to us a little bit about some of the changing the landscape, really,
right.
What's different and what we can see out in the future in the industry.
Yeah. So most of these plants have been around a long time. Right? It's not uncommon that you might go into some of these plants that have been around more than 50 years. We have some in our footprint that have been here 100 years.
Yeah.
Right? And in many ways making similar or maybe even the same product. However, the technology has changed drastically. So, think about something as basic as your smartphone, right? And how you utilize it today and where you were at just a decade ago. So these plant technologies are changing. So as an example, just how you bring data in. So think about as you drive down 225 and you see all these sites that you don't, facilities, I don't really understand all the equipment, but you can understand that there's a lot of data that comes in, all that data management that causes equipment to run at different efficiencies. And a lot of that is control technology. And then it really goes all the way through safety and environmental, because there's nothing more important to these plants than the safety and environmental performance. So a lot of the features
being key. I'm glad you pointed that out, that they are very environmentally conscious and aware.
Well, safety is the number one priority.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Environmental followed a close second. So those are things that are measured every day at the plant. There's a lot of accountability around that and continuous improvement. So if you look at where these plants were just a decade ago and you look at the performance of safety and environmental today, it's continued to increase.
Right. And I think I know for a fact next week we're going to have George Perret on from ISTC and one of our sponsors talking specifically about safety. And so he'll talk a little bit more in detail. But I think that's a great call out around the focus of not only education but ensuring the follow-ups happening in our plants and the technological advances.
You nailed it.
That's a hard one. I should have given you the word technological because you're better at that than me. But either way, I think it's very very fruitful for us. So real quick, one last question before we shift gears for a minute. But when you think about 30 years and you've been all over, you said global several times with different organizations, different positions, and now the one that you're in. Talk to me about if you were to take 10 years, every 10 years of what you've seen over the last 30, and what you would say is the signature thing that's shifted the most, that you really are the most proud of when you look back at it. And then talk to us specifically about this region, because you've seen other regions globally.
Sure.
What is it that you see that's really happened across the Gulf Coast for our space?
Yeah. Well, Jason, that's a great question. It's probably one we could take the rest of the time just with that question, because there's been so much change. But that's probably true in most everyone's life and business. But, I got out of grad school in the early 80s, right? So I walked into petrochemical plants that had completely different technology around running the process. Just information technology has changed so much. Right? So I would say in that first decade, it was really collecting data and information, analyzing that, and really pulling the facts in. I would say the next decade was all around this global nature of the business. It's interesting. These 132 plants, 90 different companies, they're all global, but in fact, the majority of them, more than 50%, are from outside the United States. So, and they're all integrated. Sometimes they're competitors with one another, suppliers, joint ventures.
Yeah.
And the industry grows at about 50% higher growth rate than GDP because, the products that these plants make are products that grow the middle class, right? It's expected that 20 years from now we're going to have another billion people globally in the middle class. And those are the people that use these products. So I would say that next decade was really kind of all around globalization. And now what we're seeing is just a really big push around workforce. Qualified workforce, and you know, these billions in capital, it's an awesome investment, and it's they appreciate this long play for these companies, right? When you put that kind of money in, you're in the business for a long, long time. Now it's all the investment around the workforce, so that that workforce is qualified, and they build teams that continue to show that improvement in the plant operations.
That's great. I think one thing that really stuck out right there was 15% better growth than the GDP. I mean, that's a huge...
Massive. What I said, 50% higher growth than GDP. So global GDP is about 4%, and petrochemical industry 6.
Wow.
So that's what we've seen for a number of years, and we anticipate that in the future. And
right.
And you know, it's a big game changer here, right? Because most of us, as recent as 5 or 6 years ago in the industry, we just didn't see this kind of growth. In the geography, a lot of us really thought it was going to be closer to the ultimate resource of oil and natural gas. But you know, it's a game changer with what the U.S. has done with fracking and access to natural gas. So, you know, because of that, in a petrochemical plant, your number one cost is feedstock.
Right.
And it's because this has become the place to build and expand, and you know, it's a huge growth for the.
I think that's just amazing. Yeah. Right? So
one of the questions I've got is, so with San Jack, are y'all seeing a bigger influx of students from outside of Texas coming in there?
Mm.
And actually global students too, right?
Right.
A pretty big influx from outside the U.S.
Yeah, you know, the short answer for that for San Jack is no, because it's a community college.
Now, sure.
I would comment, we 40,000 students. It's
big.
It's big. But it's a community college, which really focuses, you know, appropriately on our footprint. But there's been a lot of growth in that area. So, for example, in the Center for Petrochemical Energy and Technology, over the last 4 years, it's been almost a 50% growth in number of students.
Wow.
So absolutely. But I would also comment that there's been a lot of global partnerships. So we've met with different countries, Oman, Egypt, China, to kind of expand that a little, gives us a great opportunity to grow with them. But also just, you know, outside of the East Harris County community, we have a number of our students take jobs out in West Texas on the oil and exploration side, been very successful with that in Louisiana, over in Golden Triangle, down in Corpus.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know, it's all about student success for us.
Right.
And student success is just really clear. A student finishes with us, you know, do they get a good career? I say not a good job, a good career, because these are careers. I mean, there's a ton of opportunity for advancement with our graduates.
That's wonderful. Well, let's use this moment to take a quick timeout break, and we'll acknowledge our sponsors again real quick, and then we'll dive into a little change as far as some of the other topics we have to cover.
Sure, absolutely. So they are the nation's leading industrial workforce compliance organization, and they're committed to the safety of our petrochemical plants, pipelines, and their contractors. You can drop them a line at #IAmSafety. You can also, we want to thank McDonough Engineering Corporation. They are a full-service engineering firm specializing in industrial site design, including tank terminals, truck loading facilities, and manufacturing and distribution facilities. They are proud supporters of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region and this podcast. You can check them out at mectx.com. Turner is our last partner, and we want to thank them for over 55 years. Turner Industry employees across the Gulf Coast and beyond have answered the country's toughest industrial challenges. They provide one solution for your success with industrial construction, maintenance, turnaround, pipe and module fabrication, equipment, rigging, and specialized transportation, and associated specialty services. You can learn more about them at turner-industries.com.
Fantastic.
Before
we jump into this,
okay.
Because I'm ready. I know you're fired up. I want to remind our audience, because we are streaming through Facebook, you can always comment or leave feedback or questions that you have for Jim. We might not get to those questions, but we can always circle back and then use the channel to give some feedback to our audience that is interested or wants to know more.
Yeah.
Or if you have any feedback on topics or things that you'd like to learn and have more, should we ever have them back on the show? Always feel free to just tune in or chime in and give us your feedback.
We like comments.
We love it. So why don't you jump in and talk about some of the good things we have coming up?
So really the only event that I want to announce is actually for the Economic Alliance, Houston Port Region. They have their procurement breakfast coming up. So I've attended that in the past. I'm a huge fan. It's a very, very good conference because for me as a contractor, a supporting contractor, they provide you with access to the purchasing people and how they want to see things done. So how do you get in with them? How do you get them the right information? How do you help them make decisions better? So it's a really, really good conference. That's going to be Tuesday, June 18th from 7 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And you can check out more on the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region webpage.
Fantastic. And so we have some big news, and you touched on this earlier, but this has been a big topic of conversation at several of the board meetings and different meetings over the last few months for the Economic Alliance. But Jim, talk to us about the Center for Petrochem and that when it's launching, what people can expect, and give us an overall overview of that, because that's going to be huge coming up here in September.
Sure. Well, I'll start with our grand opening day, which is September 18th. I'll follow back on that later. But
is there a website people can check out?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get into our Sanjak website. You'll see that. So this project, you know, I guess was hatched about 4 years ago. The industry, ECMA, East Harris County Manufacturers Association, had some good discussions with the college. It's always been a great relationship. College started in 1961 and has really been training process people for the last 2.5 decades. Saw this change that we've talked about. So there's a lot of partnering at that point. Team went out and really did some benchmarking of what is world class and came back with all of that. And as a result, put together a project that will sit on 18 acres, 160,000 square feet.
Wow.
We'll have, as I mentioned, 40 custom laboratories. And I'm proud to say we're on time, on budget.
Wow.
We'll be moving in June, and all of the instruction and the college courses will begin in August. We have 75 courses we'll be running through this program. Many industry partners. I don't want to start mentioning because I'll miss some, but we have over 30 industry partners.
It's been
very collaborative.
That's great.
And it just a great project. And it's one that's truly, you know, dynamic and not static, right? We're going to continue to grow. We've got a 10-year plan around partnerships with technology, with industry, and you know, we want to be that partner where we work closely on ensuring that we've got a qualified workforce.
Great. How bad would it be if you're the industry leader for industrial manufacturing and did all that, and then we were behind budget and we were over budget and behind, right? Like the flagship building for teaching the kids how to get it right has got to be on time. So no, I'm kidding, but that's exciting to know. Let me ask you this: in regards to this type of facility, right? We're talking about a junior college or a trade
community
school.
College,
community,
yeah.
I'm sorry, community college. Okay. College out here in how does that rank, or where does that stand from an industry perspective across the nation?
Well, you know, we benchmarked it. There is nothing like this in the world, and I really mean
wow.
that, right?
That's
so
cool.
So what does this look like? The classrooms are very collaborative. You're going to see a classroom that looks different. We believe that you learn through a lot of small group learnings and projects and report outs. The laboratories range from everything from what you would expect in your first semester, just beginning to learn safety and environmental performance and all the mechanical knowledge that you need, and chemistry, obviously chemistry and physics that are foundational, and the math classes, but all the way through operating a unit that is 8,000 square feet. It sits outside. It looks like a small petrochemical plant.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, very safe. It handles propylene glycol and does distillation and all of the kind of the inputs and outputs that you would see in a plant. So, you know, students go and get a lot of hands-on. We have laboratories. Absolutely. We have laboratories that are just amazing. We have laboratories that. These aren't little. Some of them are up to 3,000 square feet. So
do you think your laboratories actually make some of the ones in the plants look a little that?
Oh, well, you know, I've been a plant guy my whole career, and so I won't be too disrespectful of our laboratory environments. But
I'll try to put you on a pedestal.
But you know, appreciate our plant labs. Now, if you're in a research and development facility, it's a little bit different. But plant labs are really around, you know, quality control systems.
Right.
So these laboratories, let me give you an example of one particular laboratory. It's a glass lab. So it has four process units, two tank farms. It's all glass. So a student could see what it looks like when a pump cavitates or you flood a distillation tower. It, very special. And we have 40 laboratories like that that are very unique, lots of hands-on. And you know, we see this facility at some point in time, maybe it runs 24 hours a day, maybe it looks like a plant where people are, because what we see is not just credit side. We think at least 50% of the activity in this building is going to be incumbent workers. So what that means, you know, it's upskilling our current workforce.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was a younger engineer, walked into that first plant, I didn't have a whole lot of hands-on, right? You know, and so upskilling younger engineers, maybe an outside operator is going to be a control board operator. Control board operator is going to be a technician, right? New instrumentation, analyzer. We're partnered with some of the biggest in the industry, Emerson, Siemens, Eaton, just, you know, big global companies that are designing these labs with us.
I think the thing that really stands out is I've been to the maritime facility and seeing the work that they put into really not only scaling it for the students, but scaling it for other opportunities to train the workforce. And what that means is we continuously grow the existing populace to perform better, perform more jobs, and to increase their skill set. But if I'm an employer, if I'm looking for a place or a desirable place to bring my organization, if I know I can get access to these type of resources for my employee populace,
sure,
for the folks that I need to hire, and I'm trying to determine where I want to set up shop, this to me is a winning combination.
And training and competency can be right. Two different things.
Right. Because so I'm not having to send people across the state or across the nation or other places
right.
to get the resources.
Right. Right.
We're talking about phenomenal facilities right in my backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Clint, you're right. That validation is important, right? So there's a lot of validation steps, right, that learning can be applied. And your example with Maritime is a good example because there's been a lot of success at that site. John Stauffer leads that group and has a ton of industry experience around maritime. And you know, every time I step into his facility, I realize how little I know about that business and how important it is to have expert leadership.
Right. So we're really putting up some flagship educational forces here in our region. I'm excited about that. So let's shift gears a little bit. Clint, you're going to talk a little bit about kind of our commitment to giving back here in the region.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a couple of charitable organizations that you participated with, and if you want to share that with our viewers and listeners, we would really appreciate that.
Sure, we'd be happy to. You know, I guess foundational, we all have our mentors, and one of mine, I remember early in my working at a large company, said, you know, the community allows us in their neighborhood, and we need to be good neighbors. And that's just not hiring people and paying taxes. It's being a good neighbor. So, you know, fortunately, we're blessed in Houston, Texas. You know, this is Texas. Mm-hmm. People reach out and help each other. And you know, we've got all kinds of examples for that. So we're very fortunate. So for me, gosh, you know, maybe a couple that I could mention. Bridge Over Troubled Waters has been awesome. Bad of Women's Shelter not too long ago was in a kind of an old house in Pasadena and now has a new facility that was really built with the community. It's full almost every night, unfortunately, but does so much good. Galveston Urban Ministries, one of my favorites. My Bible study team's down there frequently. And so, you know, there's many to mention, and they're just so good, and I don't know that there's anybody more generous than people in Houston, Texas.
That's awesome. One thing I really will say, just yesterday alone at the Pasadena Chamber Industrial Golf Tournament, is as you look around in these environments, not a bunch of employees, it's a bunch of owners, a bunch of contributors, a bunch of the guys who are actively involved both in the community, but then they own and operate an organization that supports the community. And it's almost a standard, right? If you're going to work in this region and you're going to have a shop or brick and mortar, you're going to be involved because everything flows through. Your benefit to your job also supports the people that we have in our community. We want this radius that supports these 12 cities that are around here as part of the economic alliance to really thrive. And so I love seeing it because you can go just following that event, heading over to the BIC Alliance. There's just, again, tons of individuals that are major contributors in all of these organizations that support us. So
speaking of major contributors, I'd like to know who are major contributors in your life? Is anyone you want to acknowledge, or who are your mentors? What books do you read? Where do you get your motivation?
I'm really blessed to have a good foundation at home. My mother and father were just there for me, my three older sisters. So, grew up in a great home and received a good education. Started to apply that. A lot of business mentors and industry mentors. I worked for a Gold Standard plant manager when I was a young engineer, and he really helped me. I've got a Bible study bunch of guys that really kind of keep me going forward and help me every day. And very fortunate to and the Sanjack team. Man, it's a good bunch of faculty and staff at St. Vincent College. They're there for you.
The diverse
iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, the diverse group of leadership inside that college is just mind blowing. Every single one of you has got so many things that you bring to the table. It's just been fun to be a part of and see that. So let's wrap up as we're getting close to closing up the show.
Sure.
I know we always kind of like to end the show. We kind of moved it around a little bit, but at the end of what is it that we're grateful for? So I'll let you go first. Clint.
The attitude of gratitude. So this week for me, Jim kind of touched on it quite a bit. I'm really grateful to be in this industry. I've been involved in other spaces outside of the petrochem and midstream before in my past, and this industry is a lot more welcoming. It's very friendly. Even you're talking about having direct competitors working side by side with each other, and I've seen that. I've been able to experience that. So I'm grateful for this industry. I really have a passion for it, and I enjoy it.
Fantastic.
And every day you learn something new. It's awesome.
Right. I'm thankful that more people are becoming aware of the industry or of the region, and there's a lot more focus and advocacy for trying to help develop it, the road systems, the things that are happening. I grew up here in Deer Park, and so when I get on Beltway now, which used to just be a feeder road, now it's a giant. I laugh. I go over the bridges and I drive up and down. I got a Chewy's, right? So anytime you start seeing that type of retail development, that means great things are happening. So I'm very humble and grateful to see that in my hometown.
Yeah. And for me, I just appreciate being asked what I'm grateful for. I think that's just an awesome question. I think just, it's this community of inclusion that people listen to each other and look to resolve issues in. Get better every day, continuous improvement. I just believe in that. I guess occasionally you get a chance to step up to the plate and hit a home run, but it's just a day of hitting a bunch of singles and making things a little bit better and just being inclusive in your thoughts and the people that gather around you.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Jim was not a letdown. So I had big expectations for hanging out with him today, and you over-delivered. So you were nervous at front, Greg. You said, how do I meet that bill? Well, you crushed it. So very excited about that. And next week, again, I know we're bringing on George. You have a little background on him. I know you're a little bit more familiar with George.
Yeah, George has been in business development for ISTC for a good while. I've seen him do professional presentations at different conferences and seminars. So he always has really, really great content. We're happy to have him on the show, and we're thankful for our sponsors, the ISTC. We're also thankful for McDonough Engineering and their sponsorship, as well as Turner Industries. So appreciate them. And again, if y'all have any comments about this show, please put them in the box below. We want your feedback. We'd love to hear what you have to say about it. If you got questions for Jim, Jason, or me, leave us a comment. Love to hear about it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend.
Economic Alliance thanks you for tuning in to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and share with your friends.